RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to the decision by the Hastings District Council to appoint the 17 members of the Hastings Youth Council to District Council committees and give them the right to vote. So what's going on here? Now, Peter Williams, RCR host and legendary broadcaster, has written a piece about this on his Substack. Others have opined as well. We thought we'd get Peter on this morning to get his thoughts on this. Peter, good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Good morning, Paul. Nice to be with you again.
What's wrong with giving a few young people a bit of a go at democracy, Pete?
Well, in principle, actually nothing, except that some of these kids can't vote. So I just don't see why 15, 16 and 17-year-olds, and I understand that out of the 17 members of the Hastings Youth Council, most of them are of that age or those ages. If they can't vote for their representatives, why should they be able to make decisions around a council committee table, which involve thousands, hundreds of thousands, perhaps sometimes even millions of dollars? It just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, so where are the adults in the room, Pete, do you think?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, it's not just the teenagers, not just the youth council that I'm bothered by. I'm bothered by the whole concept at local government level of people being appointed to committees and then having voting rights. You see, that's not democracy. You know, Paul, in one of the very earliest promos that RCR ran when we first launched, a year ago last March, there was a piece that I'd recorded during, I guess, some thought pieces that we put down for our promos. I said, we can't have people appointed to elected, what should be elected positions. That's not democracy. So, you know, it started off with iwi, and that's got ridiculous and out of hand, particularly at the Canterbury Regional Council, ECAN, where there are two appointed members of the full council, and the government wants to do away with that, and I'm sure in time that they will. And it's also developed at local body level on committees. At the Auckland Council, right back in 2011, 2010, whenever that was set up, we had the Māori Statutory Board, and members of the Māori Statutory Board were appointed to Auckland Council committees, not to the full governing body, as I understand it. That legislation might have been updated, but as I understand it, it's still at committee level, but they get votes at committee level. So that was probably the beginning of it. That was the thin end of the wedge, really. Mm. So we've now had Māori at various places around the country, various authorities around the country, being appointed to the committees, having voting rights, and now it's moved to the teenagers. I mean, who's next, Paul? Left-handers?
Well, that would
lesbians?
Be me.
Yeah, people with hairy armpits. I don't know. I mean, it's just, yeah. It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Why do we have to have people appointed to local body committees? The Local Body Act is the problem here.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your Substack. Do you want to go through what it kind of says?
Well, basically, it says that local authorities can make up committees to make decisions, to discuss policy. And people on those committees may or may not be elected members. People may be appointed to those committees if they have the appropriate attributes, skills, expertise. Well, my argument is, at local body level, why do we do that? Why can't we just operate like we do at central government level, at parliament? Everybody who's on a select committee at parliament is an elected representative. Sure, people come and make submissions. Those with the attributes, the skills and the expertise come by and make their submission. Sometimes it's short, sometimes it's long. And those submissions are taken on board by the committee, who then go away and make their decision and report back to the committee of the whole, report back to the parliament, to the House of Representatives. Why shouldn't we do that at local government level as well? I mean, it just seems absurd that at local government level, that Local Government Act of 2002 said that there can be people appointed to committees, and then the standing orders of various committees, of various councils rather, say that people on those committees, the appointed members of those committees, can have voting rights. And I just think that's wrong. You do not appoint people in a democracy. All you elect them.
Yeah, otherwise you change the... It's not what it says on the tin then, is it?
That's right. I mean, you could say the same's happened in the Democratic Party in the United States is a somewhat ironic name to that as well.
Yeah, badly named.
Yeah, their presidential candidate has effectively been appointed. She was not elected by the members of the Democratic Party, but that's their problem. And at least the wider population gets to pick who will be numero uno in early November. But let's get back to the local body authorities, local authorities in New Zealand. Yeah.
Having spoken to quite a few councillors and, you know, been to meetings and stuff and sort of kind of had a little insight into it, what happens is usually the councillors rubber stamp what the committee presents to them.
Oh, precisely. It's like what happens at select committees at Parliament. The as they say, the real work of Parliament is not done in the House of Representatives. Sure, there's question time and there are speeches and debates, but nothing much has changed in legislation in the House, in the debating chamber itself. The real work is done behind the scenes at the select committee. Same at local government level. The real work is done at the council committees. And therefore, the only people making decisions at the council committees should be the elected representatives. Sure, they can get the advice. They can have people from the community. They can have staff. They can have outside consultants all offering advice. And they may well be influenced by that advice. It's probably a good idea that they are, because nobody can be an expert in everything. But to have people appointed to committees to be in a position of power is just wrong in a democratic society. How simple is that, Paul?
No, real simple. Even I can cope with that.
Is that concept? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I remember when I was 15, I was still doing a milk run, you know. When I was 15, I didn't know much about anything. I want to just flag what a few people have been saying. ACT says the council seems to have given up on the whole point of democracy, which is that people who have the power to take our money in taxes or rates should be accountable to the rest of us, obvious. They say the phrase unelected representative is an oxymoron. I don't know if you ever worked with Kerry Woodham at News Talk ZB, Pete. I worked with her years ago, but she's saying it's a great idea. Why not? So she's saying
What's her logic for that?
Because it could, well, there's a few reasons, but the one that jumped out to me is because the turnout is so low, particularly with young people in local body elections, that this may, I don't know, help generate a better turnout or engagement.
When we go to vote at local body elections, we're not voting for those on the committees. We're voting for the council. We're voting for people around the big table.
Yeah, so it's
I mean, there's just no logic. You cannot be a logical thinker in this country by having appointments, Paul, to councils, to local authorities. They have to be elected. I mean, that commissioner in Tauranga, Ann Tolley, former Party MP. Yep.
She thinks a mix of appointing
the hybrid. I mean, that's just a preposterous idea. Democracy, as I said on the Substack, democracy comes from two Greek words, demos meaning people, kratos meaning rule, the rule of the people. We elect people to work for us. And we don't want those people then appointing their mates, which is effectively what it is, because that is the start of a slippery slope down the hill called corruption.
Yeah, it's a virtue signal ultimately, isn't it? Because, first of all, it looks like you're being really, you know, open-minded and, you know, inclusive if you're the people promoting this kind of thing inside a council, along with the, you know, pedestrian crossings and the story times and all of that.
Yeah.
But also, You know, young people can be persuaded very easily, can't they? They can be dazzled. They can have incentives placed in front of them to vote in a particular way, to support particular folk. There's something in that.
Well, it'll be nice. Be nice if these members of the Hastings Youth Council were actually elected in the first place. It appears as if they've effectively been selected, a bit like Kamala Harris. They've been selected by the Hastings District Council. The kids who show a bit of interest, maybe they're the, you know, the nerdy prefect type, those in the debating team or in the chess team.
I mean, who are these people? You know, what sort of filter is there for the,
Is there anybody from, I don't know, 5G6 who's likely to get on the youth council?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so they're all goody two-shoes, teacher's pets.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the process of selecting these kids is not democratic in the first place. And then to appoint them to council committees where they get to have a vote is just doubly outrageous, really.
I wonder what side of the climate change fence they're on, Pete. What do you reckon?
I think they probably believe the world's going to finish by about 2035. We'll just be a planetary inferno in about 10 years' time.
Yeah. Seriously, what should happen here, though? Because if I was in that, if I was a local body ratepayer voter, I'd be a little miffed about what's happening here.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, I know there's a cost involved here because I understand that each of these 17 youth councillors is going to be paid. Now, it won't be a whole lot of money. It might be, I don't know, over the course of the 12 months, it might be $2,000 or $3,000, but that's still $35,000. I mean, that might be the preparatory work or the traffic management plan for a pedestrian crossing somewhere in Hastings, Paul. You get my drift?
Yeah, a colourful one. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
multiple paint options there. Yeah.
What I believe Simeon Brown, as the Minister for Local Government, has to do is to remove that clause about who can be on the committees. That would end it once and for all. And I think he should also put in another clause that all councillors must be elected by the people under universal suffrage. He's got a bit of a problem, which is probably of Parliament's own making, about that Canterbury Regional Council situation, whereby two members of Ngāi Tahu get full voting rights and are full council members, along with, what, 12 other elected representatives. Apparently, that particular bill cannot be repealed unless the council itself says that it should be repealed, because the idea of those appointed representatives is not working well. Well, there's no way that turkeys are ever going to vote for Christmas. So Brown asked the regional council, the Canterbury Regional Council, to propose a bill that Ngāi Tahu representation bill should be repealed. Of course, they said no. It's working very well. I mean, that's a classic conflict of interest there.
Working well for who?
Precisely, for Ngāi Tahu. So I think Parliament's just going to have to put on its big boy pants and go and say, we are the sovereign lawmaker in this country. That bill is repealed.
Yeah, why don't they do that? Why don't they show more, fortitude?
Well, it's the National Party, isn't it, Paul? It's the National Party, which is singularly lacking in courage. Although, having said that, Chris Bishop and Shane Retty to go to Dunedin last week and tell people there they couldn't have a $3 billion hospital is pretty courageous by National Party standards.
Do you think they expected that reaction?
Of course they did, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm sure that crowd estimate was way, way over the top.
Yeah, they said 35,000.
Well, 35,000 is just ludicrous. You see the aerial shots of people in the octagon. The octagon doesn't hold 35,000.
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't full. It wasn't shoulder to shoulder in there. The only time you get a crowd of 35,000 in Dunedin is when, I don't know, you got Fleetwood Mac or Elton John playing at the stadium, and they're packing out, the stands on the side and all the seats down the middle of the stadium. And I don't think they even reached 35,000 then. So there's no way that the Octagon had 35,000 people there. Maybe 10,000. yeah. at the most. But you know, of course, everybody just picks a number and multiplies it by three. And, you know, particularly if you're anti-government, will blow it up and say, look at the depth of feeling here. But 35,000 is a quarter of Dunedin's population. I was in Dunedin last Saturday, and I can tell you a quarter of the population were not at that march, Paul.
Yeah, right, because you saw it.
I didn't see the march. I drove through the octagon.
You know, you know what that looks like, potentially. Yeah.
I drove through the octagon at 3 o'clock, and there was I'd forgotten that the march had even taken place.
Okay, well, they dissipated.
And there was absolutely no sign of it.
All right, well, if they've got the kahunas to turn up and do that, maybe they've got them for other stuff like this. Let's see.
Well, I'm impressed by Simeon Brown. I think that he's one of the better performers in this ministry, and I hope that he goes to the Local Government Act and sees this ridiculous clause in there and says, no, we'll have elected representatives, thank you. You can take advice, but you're not having appointed people on your councils or on your council committees. People vote for their representatives. They don't want those representatives then appointing their mates into positions of influence.
You're kind of a sneaky clause when you think about it. And
it's totally sneaky, yeah.
And look what it's set up for later on, yeah.
Well, just imagine if this was happening at central government level. It would never in a million years pass the sniff test, would it?
No way. Yeah.
I mean, just imagine that... You know, we had the American system here whereby Christopher Luxon leads the National Party in government and then says, he goes and gets all his mates from Lieber Brothers and New Zealand.
Yeah.
to come in and be the cabinet ministers. That's the American system, which is totally open to corruption. But at least it allows the government policy
clean out.
To be put into practice. But of course, they have far more checks and balances in their system than we do. So that's why I believe that, you know, pure democracy has got to be the best way that we are governed. And, you know, you have to trust the people to make the right decision. Unfortunately, there are way too many people who are politicians who believe that the people cannot be trusted.
Well, that's what it comes through, right? Like when it's sort of morons who can't quite get it. So we have to be, you know, led.
Yeah.
All right, what did Winston Churchill say about democracy? I think you've highlighted that in your Substack. He had a good
He said it's the worst. It's the worst form of government, apart from all the others that have been tried from time to time.
That's about right too, isn't it? Yeah.
He may or may not have said it, but it pretty much sums things up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Till we think of a
democracy is terrible. Okay, let's have a dictatorship. Let's have a communist setup. Let's have a tyrant here. Let's have no elections for 20 years, as they've had on the Gaza Strip, for instance.
I'd be up to be a benevolent dictator, though, I think.
You would be?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd be quite reliable.
I've had a bit to do in golf administration over the years, Paul. I think golf clubs should always be run by benevolent dictators.
Yeah, but you have to have benevolence and that can run out too, right? You can lose that. So
I know.
Can't rely on that.
Yeah.
Get all cranky. All right, Pete, thanks for coming on this morning and your Substack, Peter Allen Williams. Hastings gets it wrong. It's all in there. People can go and have a read. Thanks for coming on.
Nice talking to you, Paul. Cheers.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.